like milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books. There is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. This morning, I'm going to have a double billing. It's the 1st of August. I'm going to start things off with an adventure. The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, starring Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce. This had an original air date of the 6th of November, 1939. The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes actually ran for just under 8 years, from October 1939 to July of 1947. I hope my math's correct. That should be just under 8 years. Something I picked up at the Record Exchange in Salem over the weekend. Glad to see that that record store is still there. Here we go. This one's titled The Bruce Parkington Plans. Hope you enjoy.
Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, starring Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce. The makers of Grove's Bromo Quinine Tablets bring you another adventure of Sherlock Holmes, with Basil Rathbone as Sherlock Holmes and Nigel Bruce as Dr. Watson. A cold is a miserable thing. A cold may become a dangerous thing. Even a so-called light cold can take a serious turn. Be prompt, be decisive in your treatment of a cold. At the very first sign of a cold, take Grove's bromoquinine tablets. Bromoquinine tablets quickly check the symptoms of a cold, quickly relieve the distress of a cold. They give you speedy results, which are very important. Don't monkey around when you can get such a dependable preparation as Grove's bromoquinine tablets. And now, here we are again on our usual visit to Dr. Watson. He's waiting for us in his study, a cheerful blaze crackling on the hearth.
I'm very relieved to see you, Mr. Manning. Hasn't the weather been atrocious today? I was beginning to wonder if you'd be able to get here tonight through all this fog.
Yes, it certainly is what you Londoners call a regular pea super.
Yes, indeed. It reminds me of the adventure of the missing submarine plans. A case that was solved in the underground.
Underground?
What you Americans call a subway.
Yes, but what has a solution in a subway got to do with a foggy night?
Well, you see, the affair started in weather exactly like this. It was the third week in November, the year 1895, to be exact. On Monday, a dense yellow fog had settled down upon London. On Thursday, it was still there, thickier and murkier than ever. At first, Holmes had turned his nervous energy to cross-indexing his huge reference books. But when, after pushing our breakfast chairs back for the fourth morning, we saw the greasy brown swirl still drifting past the windows, Holmes's patience snapped. Holmes, if you must pace around in circles, I wish you'd change directions now and then. You're making me dizzy.
Bah! It's inexcusable, Watson. Inexcusable. No initiative, no imagination. Nothing ever gets done.
If you're alluding to the inactivity in this last session of Parliament, my dear Holmes...
I'm not speaking of our lawmakers, Watson, but of our lawbreakers. The London criminal is certainly a dull fellow.
What makes you say that?
Well, look out of the window. Ideal weather for committing a crime. The criminal advances on his intended victim practically unseen. He pounces! And disappears into thin air.
There have been numerous petty thefts, I believe.
Petty thefts. Pickpockets, ragamuffins. What's the country coming to? Now, If I were a criminal, Watson...
Well, I, for one, would move to America.
Oh, hello, hello. Mrs. Hudson's knocking, excited. What's up, I wonder? Yes, Mrs. Hudson, what is it? Oh, a telegram for me.
Yes, sir.
Very well, thank you.
Oh, well, what's it say?
Well, wait until I open it, can't you? Ah, dear me, what next? Most unusual, Watson, most unusual.
What's most unusual, Watson? What's it say?
Well, it's from my brother, Mycroft. You remember him. He helped us solve the case of the Greek interpreter. He's coming here.
Why not? What's so phenomenal about
it? Why not? Why not, indeed? It's as startling as it would be to meet a tram car coming down a country lane. Yes, yes, now I come to think of it. Mycroft is rather like a tram car. His rails lead from his Pall Mall lodgings to the Diogenes Club in Whitehall. That's his circle. I wonder what upheaval could have derailed him.
Doesn't the telegram explain?
It says, must see you about Cadogan West coming at once.
Cadogan West? Cadogan West? Why, that's the young chap who's found dead in the underground on Tuesday morning. I remember reading about it in the papers.
Oh?
The young man had apparently fallen out of a train and killed himself. He hadn't been robbed, and there was no reason to suspect violence. Quite an uninteresting case, if I remember correctly.
And yet, it's serious enough to cause Mycroft to alter his habits. No, Watson. This must be an extraordinary event. Do you recall any other facts about the affair?
Yes, I come to think of it, there was one unusual bit about came out of the inquest. They were unable to ascertain at what point he entered the train, because his ticket was missing.
Strange. What articles were found on the body?
£2.15, I believe it was, a checkbook and... Oh, yes, 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 two dress circle tickets for the Woolwich Theatre, dated for that evening.
Theatre tickets, eh? Then it wasn't suicide. A man doesn't procure theatre tickets for the evening on which he intends to end his life. Anything else?
A small packet of technical papers, I believe.
Technical papers? What kind of technical papers?
The newspapers didn't say.
Ah, as serious as that. What did the young man do? Where was he employed?
He was a clerk at Woolwich Arsenal.
Ah, government employee. There we have it, Watson. British government, Woolwich Arsenal, technical papers. That's why Mycroft is involved in this affair.
I don't understand.
No, I suppose not. Watson, have I ever told you what Mycroft is?
Your brother, of course.
Oh, no, 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 Watson. Do you have to be so dense? I mean, do you know what he does?
I seem to have some vague recollection that you once told me that he'd held some small office under the British government.
It would be more accurate to say, in a way, that he is the British government.
What?
His position is unique. He made it for himself. As the tidiest and most orderly brain of any man alive, with a great capacity for storing facts and giving them the proper interpretation. The conclusions of every government department are passed on to him. He's the central exchange, the clearinghouse. Again and again, his word has decided the national policy. He thinks of nothing else. Nothing else can lure him from his contemplations.
And yet he's coming here.
Yes, Jupiter is descending on us today.
What on earth can happen?
Watson, that sounds suspiciously like a bad pun. Ah, here he is, if I'm not mistaken, to speak for himself. Come in, come in. Hello, Mycroft. What's up? What's up? You look flustered.
Most annoying business, Sherlock. Most annoying. You know how I dislike altering my habits. Extremely awkward for me to come away from the office, particularly with Siam in its present state. Oh, dear me.
Yeah, sit down, Mycroft. Sit down. You know Watson, of course.
Yes, of course. I'm trying to find a chair that I can trust to hold me.
I'd better take the sofa. You certainly haven't got any thinner.
I've never seen the Prime Minister so upset. As for the Admiralty, it's buzzing like an upset beehive. You know anything about the case?
Watson's just been telling me what was in the newspapers. Just what were the technical papers found on the body?
Sherlock, for the love of heaven, not so loud. Those papers which the wretched youth had in his pocket were none other than the plans of the Bruce Partington submarine.
Oh?
The submarine which would completely revolutionize naval warfare. The most important papers in our government archives. Under no circumstances could they be removed from the office. Even the chief constructor of the Navy was forced to go to Woolwich if he desired to consult them.
And yet we find them in the pockets of a dead junior clerk in the heart of London. Yeah, from an official point of view, it's deplorable, my dear Mycroft. Simply deplorable.
You may laugh, Sherlock, but this country won't be safe until they are recovered.
But I thought you said that they were found in the pocket of this chap, Cadogan West.
10 papers taken from Woolwich. 7 were found in the pockets of Cadogan West. 3 are still missing, the 3 essential ones. To recover those 3 papers is imperative. The peace of Europe depends on...
Nice little problem, eh, Watson? Why did Cadogan West take the papers? How did he die? How did his body reach the place where it was found? And where are the missing papers?
Find the answer to those questions, Sherlock, and you'll have done your country an invaluable service.
Oh, why don't you solve it yourself, Mycroft? I believe you could.
Possibly. But it's a question of digging out details. Give me the details, and I can give you the solution from an armchair. No, when it comes to running about and cross-questioning railway guards and lying on one's face with a lens to one's eye... No, that's not my métier.
Besides, your figure prevents your taking such an undignified position, eh? Very well. Leave that part of it to us, eh, Watson?
Right you are.
Good. I've got a cab waiting outside to take the place where the body was found. I can give you the details on the way.
Now, Mycroft, who was the official guardian of these famous papers?
No less a personage than Sir James Walter, a gentleman who's grown grey in the service. His patriotism is beyond suspicion.
A bachelor, if I'm not mistaken. Lives with his brother.
Yes. He was at the house of Admiral Sinclair at Berkeley Square during the whole of the evening when this accident occurred. The Admiral vouches for him. He's one of the two who have the only keys to the safe.
And his key was with him all evening?
Right. His key, the key to the building, the key to the room.
Who was the man with the other key?
The senior clerk, Mr. Sidney Johnson. Man of 40, married, silent, morose, with an excellent service record.
Any alibi?
He, too, had his key with him. Seems to have spent the evening playing a game of draughts with a green grocer around the corner from his lodgings. Of course, he has only the word of this green grocer to back him
up. Oh, come, my dear Mycroft. No class discriminations, please. The word of a green grocer is often just as good as that of an admiral. What about Cadogan West?
He had a good reputation. A bit hot-headed, but straight and honest. At least, everyone thought so. He was next to Sidney Johnson at the office. His duties brought him into daily personal contact with the plans. No one else ever had the handling of them.
Oh, that's perfectly clear. He must have taken...
Ah, not so fast, Watson, not so fast. Who locked them up that night?
Mr. Sidney Johnson.
Ah, they were of value, commercially, I mean.
Oh, yes. There's no doubt that West could have got several thousands for them very easily.
And yet, only a small amount of money was found on the body.
Perhaps the buyer took it back after he'd murdered West.
Ah, what puzzles me is, how did West obtain possession of those papers? To do so, he must have had a false key.
Several false keys, Sherlock. He had to open the building and the room as well.
Oh, well, several false keys then. Let me see. Suppose West did take the papers and went into town. And on the way back to Woolwich, where he is hoping to replace the papers, he's killed and thrown from the train.
But the spot where the body was found is considerably past the station for London Bridge, which is the route to Woolwich.
Ah, that's interesting. Also, if young West did make an appointment with some foreign agent to sell the papers that night, why didn't he keep the evening clear? Why buy two theater tickets?
Exactly. Furthermore, he actually escorted his fiancée halfway there before he disappeared.
A blind. That's what it looks like to me.
Why did he take the papers at all? Why not copy them out in the office and sell the copies? He certainly had plenty of opportunity to do so. And why the absence of his underground ticket?
Perhaps the ticket would have shown us which station was near the agent's house. So the murderer destroyed it.
Good, Watson. Very good. And yet... I wonder.
Huh? Well, here's the underground station. The railway authorities have sent a man round to show you the exact place where the body was found.
You won't change your mind and come with us?
Well, crawling round that black hole on my hands and knees is not very likely. Well, I shall expect a report on your efforts this evening.
I never expect too much, Mycroft. Never expect too much.
Before we follow Holmes and Watson into the mazes of the London subway system, I have a word of advice. Every year, colds cause a lot of sickness. Every year, they cause a lot of expense and time lost from work. Always regard a cold seriously. Always treat it earnestly. At the first sign of a cold, take Groves bromoquinine tablets. Bromoquinine tablets are famous relief for the distress of a cold. Their efficacy has been fully established. Bromoquinine tablets go right to work on a cold symptom. They don't waste any time. They don't pull any punches. They quickly relieve the misery of a cold. They help reduce the fever of a cold. Thousands of people keep bromoquinine tablets handy all winter. Thousands of people depend on them as their relief for colds. No other preparation enjoys greater confidence than bromoquinine tablets. Follow the example of millions, and at the first sign of a cold, take Groves bromoquinine tablets. Get them at any drugstore, a few cents a box. Ask specifically for Groves, G-R-O-V-E-S, Bromo, B-R-O-M-O, Quinine, Q-U-I-N-I-N-E. Groves Bromoquinine Tablets.
This way, sir. Step right along the tracks.
But it isn't safe. Supposing a train should come shooting round that curve.
Oh, that's all right, sir. There won't be another for 5 minutes anyway. Here we are, sir. This is where they found the body. Right here alongside the rails. Lying on its face, it was.
Spooky old place, eh, Holmes? Like the catacombs, only without the skeletons.
Yeah. Anything in his hands when they found him?
No, sir.
Were they clenched? Or spread out as if he were protecting himself?
No, sir. They was what you might call relaxed.
Ah. What time did all this happen?
Well, sir, the train he was hoisted out of, as near as we can figure, passed along here about midnight on Monday.
All the carriages have been examined for signs of violence, I suppose.
They didn't find nothing, not even the missing ticket. There was a passenger to Aldgate on the ordinary train, about 11:40 it was. He said he'd heard a heavy thud, like something striking the line, just before the train reached this station. But it was so foggy, he said he was blessed if he could see what it was.
Holmes, what's the matter? What are you staring at?
The curve, Watson.
What
curve of the rails.
What of it? What do you mean?
I suppose there aren't many curves as abrupt as this.
No, sir, I can't say as there is.
What have curves got to do with it?
Oh, an indication, Watson. Merely an indication. Unique. Perfectly unique. And yet, why not? I don't see any indications of bleeding on the line.
No, sir, there wasn't any to speak of.
But I understand there was a considerable wound.
The bone was crashed right enough.
Holmes! You hear that? It's a train. It's coming this way.
Run, sir. Run for your life.
Yes, but where?
Up ahead. There's a place where the train switches off.
Run, Watson, run. It's just around the curve.
We'll never make it.
Yes, we will. Faster.
There's the switch up ahead. Come on.
Here comes the train now.
We'll make it. Ah, Justin. Watson, for the love of heaven. You're on the wrong track.
That was a narrow escape, Holmes. I must say my knees are still shaking. Look at the shoulder of my coat where you pulled at me.
Lucky thing for you that I did.
Where are we off to now in this fog?
Yes, it's a nice afternoon. Suppose we pay a few calls. I think Sir James Walter claims our first attention. After that, we might drop in on Miss Westbury.
Miss Westbury? Who's she?
She is Cadogan West's fiancée and the last person to see him alive.
Holmes, we seem to be going around in circles. We've accomplished absolutely nothing so far except to get ourselves nearly annihilated in the underground. After all, it's perfectly obvious that the young man had a quarrel with someone, in all probability the agent, to whom he sold the papers, and got himself thrown out of the railway carriage for his pains.
I disagree with you, my dear Watson. His body fell from the roof of the carriage where it had been placed. Cadogan West met his death elsewhere.
The roof of the train?
Consider the facts, Watson. A. The curve in the tracks. The body is found at a spot where the train pitches and sways as it comes around the points. B. There was no ticket. C. There were no signs of bleeding on the line because the body had bled elsewhere.
Of course. Everything fits together, but where was the body placed on the train?
I think I can make a fair guess at that, my dear Watson. Here we are. This is the famous official villa of Sir James Walter. And that, if I'm not mistaken, is his brother, Colonel Valentine, just coming out of the house.
What's the matter with the man? He looks positively haunted.
Oh, pardon me, Colonel Valentine, but can you tell me if Sir James is at home?
Sir James, sir? Sir James is dead.
Good heavens, dead?
He died this morning. It's terrible, terrible.
How did he die?
Oh, it's this horrible scandal. My brother, sir, was very sensitive of his honor. He couldn't survive the disgrace to his department. It broke his heart. Pardon me, gentlemen, I must go. It broke his heart.
Most appalling development. Eh, Holmes?
I wonder if his death was natural, or if the poor fellow killed himself.
Yes?
Will you tell Miss Westbury that Mr. Sherlock Holmes would like to see her?
Oh, please come in, gentlemen. I'm Violet Westbury, Mr. Holmes. I've been expecting you ever since I heard you had taken the case. Please be seated.
Well, thank you.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, we must save his good name. He couldn't have done it. Cadogan was the most chivalrous, patriotic gentleman on earth. He couldn't have done it. He would have cut his right hand off rather than sell his state secret.
But the facts, my dear Miss Westbury.
I admit I can't explain them.
Was he in need of money?
No, Mr. Holmes. His needs were simple and his salary very good. He'd saved several hundred pounds. We were to be married at the new year.
I see. Had you noticed any signs of mental excitement?
Well, that is...
Come, Miss Westbury, be frank with us.
Yes, Mr. Holmes. That night, I had a feeling that there was something on his mind.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about it, will you?
We were on the way to the theater. It was a foggy night, you remember? We were walking slowly. Our way took us close to his office. Cadogan seemed thoughtful and worried. Darling, what's the matter? You haven't said a word for the last 5 minutes. Have I said or done something?
Of course not, silly. It's just that I've got something on my mind.
Well, why not tell me about it? Perhaps I can help.
It's no use, Vi. It's too serious for me to talk about, even to you.
You know, sometimes, Caddy, I feel just the least little bit jealous of that old job of yours. When you're cooped up in that building all day.
Oh, now you're not going to be jealous of a building.
Well, not really. But it is funny to think of a husband having secrets he can't tell his wife.
Mighty important secrets, I can promise you. There's one in particular that any foreign spy would pay good money to get hold of.
How thrilling.
Well, I don't know. They're awfully slack about some things over there in that building, Violet. What's too slack? It would be too confounded easy for a traitor to get his hands on those plans.
What plans? Oh,
never mind, darling. I guess I'm getting a bit melodramatic. There's something been worrying me. Hello, what's that?
What's what?
Over there, that shadow moving along the side of the building. It's a man. So that's it. I always suspected...
Oh, what's the matter? You're so excited. What's wrong?
Stay here, Violet. There's something I have to find out. Stay here.
I waited and waited, but he never returned. Oh, Mr. Holmes, if you could only save his honor, it meant so much to him.
We shall do our best, Miss Westbury. This shadow, this man moving along the building, did you see it too?
I think I did, Mr. Holmes. But the night was so foggy, I can't be sure. But there must have been a man. Another man. It couldn't have been Cadogan. Surely character goes for something.
Let us hope so. Come along, Watson. We must return home. I'm expecting an answer to some telegrams I sent Mycroft earlier this afternoon. We've done enough for one day.
Holmes, where have you been all day? You left this morning before I was up. Now you've come home with your towel awry, your suit torn, and as ravenous as a wolf.
Yes, I've had a bit of exercise, my dear Watson. Pass me the tongue, will you? It would have done you good to go along.
Yes, what were you doing?
Investigating the premises inhabited by foreign spies known to have been in London on last Monday. Mycroft sent me a list of them. Took a bit of doing, too. Climbing walls, breaking into cellars, prowling around rooftops.
Well?
I discovered... there was only one residence which had the proper facilities for disposing of West's body after the murder.
Well, whose residence was that?
It belongs to a Hugo Oberstein. The address is 13 Caulfield Gardens, Kensington. The gentleman himself has departed for Europe.
Gone, has he? And he took the plans with him. It's too late.
Not necessarily, Watson.
What can we do now?
We're going to keep a rendezvous with the gentleman who stole and sold those plans. The assignation will take place at Mr. Oberstein's house this evening at 9.
Do you see you talking about?
These newspaper clippings. I found them in the drawer of Hugo Oberstein's desk. Read them.
The Daily Telegraph agony column. The first one says, too complex for description, must have full report, terms agreed to, payable when goods delivered. Signed, Pirro. Pirro, indeed. Sounds like a Mardi Gras.
Read on, Watson, read on.
Second goes, matter presses, must withdraw offer unless contract completed. Pirro again.
And the last, dated Monday... the day the crime is committed.
Monday night after 9, 2 taps, payment in hard cash. I say, do you think it was a submarine that the plans that he was buying?
I'm almost positive. And Pirro was Oberstein himself. But we'll find out for certain this evening. I've invited the gentleman who sold the papers to meet us.
How? I don't understand.
I inserted this advertisement in today's Daily Telegraph. Tonight, same hour, same place, 2 taps, vitally important. Your own safety at stake. Signed, Pirro, as usual.
By George, if he answers that, we've got him.
Unless we're too late. Come along, Watson. There's no time to lose. You can take this package for a change. I've been carrying it around all day.
What's in it?
Oh, just a jemmy, a dark lantern, a chisel and a revolver.
Nice equipment for a respectable citizen to be carrying about the streets of London, I must...
Yeah, you know, Watson, there are times when I suspect we aren't quite respectable. Here we
are. This is Caulfield Gardens.
Thank heavens, it's still foggy. I shouldn't like to be caught in the act of housebreaking.
Yeah. Over this wall, Watson. There's a window we can easily pry open in the back.
Scale that wall?
Oh, come on, hurry up, hurry up. There's no time to lose. Here, here. I'll give you a boost. Come on, up you... That's it. Look out, here I come.
I must say, Holmes, you're as agile as a cat. It's uncanny.
This is the window. Light the lantern and give me the jimmy. One. Two.
Mr. Holmes, the Amigan runs right past here, almost on the level of these windows. I could have reached out and touched it.
Yes, quite convenient, wasn't it? It was here the body was placed on the roof of a train. Look out of this, look on this windowsill. Hmm? You can see the soot is blurred where they rested the body. And here, look here, look, look. This brown stain is blood.
Mm, nasty, eh, Holmes? Let's get on to the house.
Very well, then. Come along, come along. The window's open. Easy, easy, don't break the glass.
Supposing Uncle Steen should happen to return home?
Well, we must take our chances in this business. Come along, Watson, come along. Our visitor will expect to be let in by the front door.
I wish these stairs didn't squeak so.
9 o'clock. We can expect him at any moment now. You take your position on one side of the door. I'll be on the other. So we can pounce on him when he enters. I'll throw my greatcoat over his head.
Oh, well, I wish he'd hurry.
Shh, Watson.
I wonder what if he doesn't come.
There he is. Ready now. I'll open the door.
You wanted me?
No, you don't. Take that.
Easy, Watson, easy.
All right, Holmes, I've got him.
Well, let's take a look at our catch. Take the overcoat away, Watson.
Right. Hi, it's Colonel Valentine Walter, Sir James's brother.
Quite. Well, sir, what have you to say for yourself? Why did you steal the Bruce Partington plans?
Who are you? What do you know about this?
I am Sherlock Holmes, and I know everything.
Oh, this is terrible. I'm lost. I didn't realize their importance until my brother killed himself. But I needed the money. I had to have it. Oberstein offered to give it to me if I'd let him see the plans.
So you took an impression of your brother's key, opened the safe, and procured the papers. Cadogan West saw you leaving the building, followed you here, and you killed him.
No, I didn't do that. I swear I didn't do it.
No? Then perhaps you'd better tell us who did murder Cadogan West and placed him on the roof of the railway carriage.
I'll tell you. I promise you I will. I did the rest. I confess it, but not that.
Very well, then. How did it happen?
I got the papers, as you've discovered, made my way through the fog until I reached the door. Once or twice, I fancied I was being followed. I could hear footsteps on the pavement behind me.
Colonel Walter?
Yes.
You have the papers?
Yes. Let me in, quick. I think someone's been following me.
Yes, it's me. Huh? You can't do this, Valentine. It's treason.
Corey, do you hear?
No. You can't sell the papers, Valentine. I won't let you.
They should see.
Look out, West.
Take that. Oh. How do you like that, my impetuous young friend? Papa Oberstein, he knows how to use a blackjack, eh?
You've killed him.
So?
It's murder. I'm going to get out of this.
Oh, no. I think different. You will come in here if you do not wish to taste a blackjack, too.
But...
That is better.
Oh, what can we do? They'll find the body.
I have an idea. First, I look at those papers. I take the ones I want under arrest. You put in the pocket of this foolish young man. And then we give him a nice ride on top of the underground train, no? He will be the guilty one. Who will ever know?
What a thoroughly unpleasant gentleman. What a pity that he got away with the papers, Dr. Watson.
Oh, but he didn't. Oberstein had left a Paris forwarding address with Colonel Walters. That gentleman sent him a letter dictated by Holmes, saying that he had discovered that one essential detail in the plans was missing, and that he had procured a tracing which would make it complete for a price.
And did Oberstein swallow the bait?
Did he swallow it? He was arrested as he got off the boat at Folkestone. Some weeks later, I learned incidentally that Holmes had spent a day at Windsor Castle and returned with a remarkably fine emerald tie-pin. When I asked him where he got it, he answered it was just a small present from a certain gracious little old lady for whom he'd been able to do a small favor.
Yes, and I think I can guess the lady's august name.
Elementary, my dear Mr. Manning, elementary.
I see. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, Dr. Watson will be back to tell us about next week's story. In the meantime, let us repeat, watch out for colds. At the first sign of a cold, take Groves bromoquinine tablets. Bromoquinine tablets are made especially for the relief of colds. In other words, they're specialized medication, and that's what you want. Yes, at the very first sneeze or sniffle, go right to your druggist and get a package of Groves Bromoquinine tablets. Now, Dr. Watson, next week?
Next week, I think I'll tell you the story of the lion's mane.
The lion's mane? What was that, Dr. Watson?
Well, the answer to that question, Mr. Manning, almost stumped Sherlock Holmes himself. Suffice it to say that they were the last words gasped out by a dying man as he lay writhing in agony on the sands of the Sussex coast.
You have been listening to a Sherlock Holmes adventure, adapted from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's story, The Bruce Partington Plans, with Basil Rathbone as Sherlock Holmes and Nigel Bruce as Dr. Watson. The dramatization was by Edith Meiser. This program is presented from Hollywood every week at this same time by the makers of Groves Bromoquinine Tablets. Quick relief for colds. This is Knox Manning speaking.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Plans. An announcer there gave you the rundown. I believe the original story by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was published in 1909. Of course, that's what I found. The original air date for that one was the 6th of November, 1939. And again, the series ran from from October 1939 to July of 1947. Just under eight years. I don't know what to think of that. I was a big fan of Arthur Conan Doyle, hearing some of these adapted. I haven't heard enough to really make a full assessment, but hey, what radio's for, isn't it?
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Next up for the double billing, this is episode either, it depends on your references. It's episode, some have it as episode 96, some have it as episode 99 of Gunsmoke. It's from season 2, which aired from 1953 to 1954. This one's called Confederate Mine, starring William Conrad. Again, this is Arthur. You're listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, and or WMFO.org.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Barkeep. Barkeep, get down here.
His name's Sam, mister.
That so? What's your name?
Neil Butler.
Ain't you pretty young to be drinking so much hard liquor, Neil?
19. But I've been around Dodge longer than you have.
Kind of sassy for a kid, ain't you?
Man enough to ride for Fate Ender.
Fate Ender?
You never heard of him?
Maybe I have.
Anybody that's ever been near a longhorn steer has heard of Fate Ender.
Sure.
He's a hard man to work for, though.
How's that?
Well, he eats one meal a day and don't drink or smoke. So he has a big advantage over the likes of me and you.
Mm-hmm. Does he pay regular?
Looking for a job, mister?
It ain't mister, it's Lee Shin.
Okay, Shin.
And I'm looking for a drink, not a job.
Sam! Hey, Sam!
Yeah, but enough, Neil.
You ain't my nursemaid. I'm buying a drink for me and Lee Shin here.
I've been yelling for one long enough.
Sometimes I'm hard of hearing.
You know, I've seen barkeeps with their heads all busted open.
Shin, huh? And where would you have seen that, Shin?
Texas, maybe.
Well, you ain't in Texas now.
Lay off of him, Sam. He's new around here. Fetch them drinks.
I just don't believe I will.
Now, looky here.
You don't pull much weight around here, do you, Neil?
He's had enough, Shin, and don't you egg him on.
He can take care of himself.
Of course I can. Sam... You give me a drink, or by heaven, I'll bore a hole in you.
Now, take it easy, kid.
You don't think I will, huh?
Well, you better not try.
I'll try.
All right, you hold it, mister.
Watch him, Marshal.
I ain't made a move.
No, but you was about to.
It'd have been too bad for you if I had, Barton.
Never mind that. Throw some water on Neil there, Chester.
All right, Mr. Dillon. You got any water, Sam?
What kind of place you think I run?
Well, give me some beer, then.
You paying for it?
Mr. Dillon?
Forget it, Chester. The kid's coming, too, anyway. Oh. You're a stranger in Dodge, mister.
Supposing I am.
Don't start any trouble, that's all.
I ain't done a thing. I just been standing here. It's that mean-tempered barkeep started it.
You want me to break a bottle over your head, Shin?
See?
Blast you, Sam. What'd you hit me with, anyway?
The usual. If you try that again, I'll hit you twice.
You sure sobered me some.
Sobered you, did he? What were you doing drunk in the first place?
Now, Mr. Render...
Shut up, Neil. I can tell what's been going on here, and I don't like it.
It's all right now, Mr. Ender.
You going to arrest him, Marshal?
No. I got nothing to arrest him for, Fate.
Drunkenness?
He won't cause any more trouble.
You're trying to protect him, eh? Well, it ain't going to work.
He's sober now. Look at it.
Sure, he's all right, Fate. I just had a little argument with him. Wasn't nothing.
I'm not blaming you, Sam, but a man has to learn to hold his liquor or not drink at all.
It's a lot easier not to drink at all, the way you do, Fate.
Maybe. But I remember the time I felt I'd come to the estate of man when I'd learned to drink 1 1/2 quarts of whiskey daily.
That's a lot of whiskey.
But I quit. 15 years ago, I quit.
You ain't had a drop since?
Only once. A friend of mine who was a candidate for office tempted me into a glass. I felt like I'd stolen a sheep.
Well, you can't expect everybody to feel the same way, Fick.
I don't, Marshal. But I recognize the weakness for liquor when I see it. And young Neil here's got to learn.
Mr. Ender, I ain't been drunk in 2 weeks. Till today.
2 weeks? Neil, if you ain't man enough to stay away from it longer than that, you ain't man enough to work for me.
You mean I'm fired?
You'll draw your pay tomorrow morning. Good day, gentlemen.
Mr. Ender. That old mosshead. He needs shooting.
You'll start thinking about finding a job, Neil, not shooting somebody.
Maybe I'm tired of working. Say, where'd that fella Shin go? It's plumb disappeared.
Never mind about him. Look, Neil, they're looking for some help over at the OK Stables. Maybe it'd keep you in feed till you find something else, huh?
Thanks, Marshal. But I got some thinking to do first.
That Fate Ender sure is a hard man, Mr. Dillon.
Hard enough to cure himself of drinking, anyway.
Yeah, but he needn't have been so mean with Neil the other day. He could have gave him a second chance.
Neil can get another job.
That's right, I know. But I don't cotton to a man being so self-righteous. My, I'll bet old Ender's made lots of mistakes in his time.
People say he has. Only nobody's caught up with him yet.
Mm. What do you mean?
Back in Texas, he used to spread a mighty wide loop, Chester. I expect it was a long time before he paid money for any calves.
Oh, well, I never heard he was a thief.
Oh, he isn't. Not now. It was just after the war when everybody was branding anything in sight. Cattle were running wild then, what with so few men to look after them.
Yes, sir, I know. One of my brothers got caught at it.
Oh? You never told me that, Chester?
Well, it's something us proudfoots don't bring up very often, Mr. Dillon.
No. No, of course not.
No, sir. My brother wouldn't like it.
What?
Well, he's a banker now.
A banker?
Yes, sir. At a place called Pavo. That's over west of San Antonio. Real dry country there. He likes it. But I sure don't. My goodness, the wind and the dust is...
Ah, Matt!
Hello, Doc.
Sir, you better come upstairs.
Oh, what's the trouble?
Fate Ender. He didn't want to see you, but I sneaked down anyway.
He didn't want to see me about what?
I just took a bullet out of his arm, Matt.
What?
And he's talking about killing the man that put it there.
Who?
He didn't say.
Wait here, Chester.
I didn't hear about no gunfight, Mr. Dillon.
Neither did I. Is he hurt bad, Doc?
I didn't even break the bone, Matt. It'll be a mite painful for a while. He's resting a little right now. That's how I got away.
Well, I'm glad you did.
I might have known that's where you went, Doc.
No man comes in here carrying a bullet without my telling the marshal, Fate.
How'd this happen, Fate?
I'll skin my own snakes, Marshal.
Not around here, you won't.
I've killed men before, and I don't need no help to do it again.
Somebody took a wild shot at you, is that it?
Not so wild it didn't hit me.
Well, maybe he wasn't trying to kill you.
He didn't get close enough for any such trick shooting, little coward.
Ah. You think it was Neil, huh?
Of course it was. And I'll kill him. I'll kill him, sure, Marshal.
Why do you think it was Neil, Fick?
I know it was. Tried to kill me while I was crossing the Arkansas on my way into town. But he was a quarter mile off, behind a bluff. Just too bad for him, he didn't hit my gun arm.
Now, wait a minute. If he was behind the bluff, how do you know who it was?
You're just complicating things, Marshal. I heard he threatened to kill me the other day when I fired him.
All right, Fate. I'll find him, and if we can prove he did it, he'll go to jail.
He won't go to jail if I find him first, Marshal. You won't stop me. I've lived too long to be killed by some hot-headed kid.
You got a right to protect yourself, Fate. But murder's a hanging offense these days.
And if you don't want to see me hung, you better move fast, Marshal.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, Barbara Stanwyck and Barry Sullivan play their original screen roles again in the Lux Radio Theater adaptation of Jeopardy. It's the story of a wife who encounters a killer during her frantic race to save her husband from death. Remember, Jeopardy on the Lux Radio Theater Monday night over most of these same stations. On the same evening, hear Victor Mature in The Girl in Car 32 on Suspense. Mature plays a cop who, chasing a jewel thief, finds love along the way. Hear Suspense, also Monday night at the Star's address. Now the second act of Gunsmoke.
For all his hard-headedness, Fate Ender was as good a citizen as any around Dodge. And in some ways, a lot better. In any case, I didn't want to see him hung any more than I wanted to see young Neil shot. And since Fate wasn't the kind of a man you could argue with or throw in jail to cool off, I went looking for Neil. He wasn't at the OK stable, but a small boy there told us that he'd be right back. So Chester and I sat down in one of the stalls and waited.
Mr. Dillon, you don't think Neil's going to admit trying to stage an ambush, do you?
Well, he'd be a fool if he did, Chester.
And what are you going to do with him?
I don't know. Maybe he'll do it by himself.
Just what? Like I told you before.
Yeah, maybe
man,
this is him.
That team deserves to die, Neil. It don't matter now who killed him.
Hey, it's that fella Shin.
Be quiet, Chester.
Well, sometimes I think it'd be worth hanging for, even if I did get caught.
That's more like it, kid. Don't you let nobody bluff you.
He ain't all bluff. I've seen him.
Neil, Fate Ender's like a Confederate dollar. Like 500 Confederate dollars, in fact. He's just that no good.
Well, I don't know. But anyways, he sure didn't treat me fair. I mean, I shouldn't have talked so much about shooting him.
Don't you worry, kid. They can't do nothing to you. They can't prove nothing at all.
Of course they can't.
What's there to prove, Neil?
Marshal.
Take your hand off that gun, Shin.
Why, sure.
Shouldn't jump out at a man like that, Marshal.
Well, my being here wouldn't bother most men.
What do you mean?
I take it you've heard about Fate Ender getting shot.
I heard. And he's saying I did it, too.
Well?
Don't tell him nothing, kid. You don't need no alibi.
Suppose you stay out of this, Shin.
Well, why should I? I'm the only friend Neil's got around
here. Neil can talk for himself.
Everybody's got a rope on the kid. It ain't
That's
fast.
Enough out of you.
He's just trying to help me, Marshal. But he don't need to. I can prove I wasn't anywhere near there.
Oh? Well, how do you know where it happened, Neil?
A friend of mine met him on the way into town. Ender told him all about it, and he comes straight off and told me. Ender says it was noon, Marshal. You want to know where I was at noon?
Yeah, where?
At the Texas Trail, talking to Kitty. I'm going back there right now and get her to prove it before Ender finds me and tries to kill me.
Now, wait a minute, Neil.
Let him go.
It won't do any good, kid.
Of course it will.
Darn fool, kid.
Shin. Why won't it do any good?
There's nobody will believe either of them. You'll say they're both lying. He's paid off Kitty or something.
Stop right there, Neil.
No!
Hey, that was Fate Ender, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. All right, drop that gun, Fate. Drop it.
Don't let him shoot me again.
I ain't gonna shoot you again. Not this time, anyway. Here. Take my gun, Marshal.
You know, you don't have to kill a man to go to jail, Fate. All right, Chester, keep an eye on him.
Yes, sir.
How are you, Neil?
You busted my shoulder, Marshal.
You're lucky.
I seen him coming and I got scared. But I wasn't fast enough.
He weren't fast enough?
I know him. He'd never bother saying so. But I drew first, Marshal. I gotta admit it.
Now, Chester.
Yes, sir?
Give Neil a hand here, huh? Taking up the ducks.
Okay, Mr. Dillon.
Shin can help you, Chester.
He's run off, Neil. Seems like he's kind of gun-shy.
All right, now, come on. Put your arm around me.
Be careful. Put it under.
There we are.
Well, walk some, Neil. It's your shoulder.
Tell me something, Fate. How come you didn't finish him off while you had the chance?
Well, I would have. The first shot hadn't crippled him. I ain't no murderer, Marshal.
But you'll kill him when he gets well. Is that it?
I'll kill him. Of course I will.
Hiya, Marshal.
Kitty. Sam.
I can tell you're not going to make any money off him today, Sam.
Have a drink on the house, Marshal.
No. Kitty's right, Sam. I didn't come here for pleasure.
I heard about Fate Ender being shot. Is that what it is, man?
Yeah. Kitty, Young Neil claims that he was in here at noon talking to you.
Yeah, he was, Matt. Funny thing is, he was talking about Fate most of the time. Sam was here, too. He heard him.
Yeah, sure did. If what he was saying is true, Fate's about the sharpest dealer I ever heard of.
Huh? What do you mean, Sam?
Oh, it's just a story about Fate when he was still in Texas.
Go on. Tell him, Kitty.
Well, seems Fate owed a man $500 when the war broke out. But he told him he'd keep it for him so he'd have something when he got out of the army. That was during the Confederacy, of course. So when the fellow came back to collect his money, Fate shoved a whole barrel of it at him and told him to help himself.
Ain't that something, Marshal?
Fate claimed the debt had been made in Confederate money, so that's what he paid off with. Pretty foxy of him, don't you think, Matt?
500 no good Confederate dollars. Kitty.
Hmm?
Did Neil say where he'd heard this story?
Oh, that new friend of his, Shin. He told him why.
It's a good story, Kitty. It's a real good story.
Doc's got the bullet out and everything.
Yeah, there's nothing more I can do now. You're a mighty lucky young fella, Neil.
I don't call getting shot so lucky.
I ain't talking to you, mister. Now, you come back tomorrow, Neil. I'll have to change that dressing.
Sure, Doc. Let's get out of here, Shin.
Okay.
Shin.
Yeah?
Where'd you go after the shooting at the stable?
Nothing I could do for him, Air Marshal. Come on, kid.
Now, you wait here a minute, Neil. I'd more like to talk to you.
What for?
Well, I ain't waiting.
You might be interested in this, too, Shin.
I'll wait for you at the stable, Neil.
That's far enough, Shen.
I've heard all your talk I need, Marshal.
Shen, maybe Fate Ender outsmarted you, but $500 isn't enough to try to kill a man over. Now, wait! Get him over the window, Chester, in case he makes the street. I'm going after him.
Yes, sir. Look at him, Mr. Dillon. Right there.
What?
I got him.
What? Oh, did you shoot him, Chester? I didn't hear anything.
No, sir. That chamber pot there, I dropped it right on his head.
What?
A bullseye, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. Well, he's your prisoner, Chester. Come on down and lock him up.
Yes, sir. I'll be right there.
Neil?
Yes, sir?
Marshal here told me the whole story.
Looks like we both made a mistake, Mr. Ender.
Shin wasn't much of a friend, was he? Trying to hide behind you all the time.
I took up with him when I was drunk. That's the whole trouble.
Neil, I'm kind of old. Sometimes I guess I forget what it's like to be young.
Yes, sir.
And I... Well,
That's all right, Mr. Ender.
No, it ain't all right.
Maybe what he's trying to tell you, Neil, is that... he went and paid Doc for fixing you up.
He did?
And Doc says it'll only be a couple of weeks before... You can ride again. A
couple of weeks is too long for a little wound like that. I won't have no namby-pambies riding for me. You hear?
Yes, sir. I hear.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, James Ogg, Harry Bartell, and Barney Phillips. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Gunsmoke has been selected by the Armed Forces Radio Service to be heard by our troops overseas. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Love him, grown-ups love him. Now, who could be so universally admired? Why, no one else but that singing cowboy, Gene Autry. Tomorrow night, Gene Autry invites all his friends.
That was Gunsmoke. The title of that episode was Confederate Money. Original air date for that was the 13th of March, 1954, from season 2. Show ran for 9 years. It was noted for its high production quality. If you noticed, Kitty's saloon there. You can hear somebody coughing in the background. That sort of dog barking. The marshals approaching. This completes the double billing adventure western. This is Arthur. You're listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM WMFO. Tufts. Matt with the whirlpool is not going to be in. I don't believe it was